Good morning. Well, I enjoyed that worship. I enjoyed that, especially that last song. Boom. Wow. Well, yesterday was outreach for us, and it was a good time. We met some new people. This young man we met at the back, sitting at the back there, we met at the outreach yesterday. He's come to join us this morning, but lots of other people. We got to pray with quite a few, and it was just a great team. Thank you for those who come. And I think George probably worked the hardest he's ever had to work on a Saturday morning. It did not stop. We weren't flooded, but there was just a steady stream, almost from when we started to when we stopped. And George is, oh, no, he didn't have to, pump, making balloons the whole, weren't you, mate? I mean, I don't know if your fingers were sore by the end of it. They were. But it was a good morning. Now, just quickly, before I roar into this, these are at the back. There's quite a few of you weren't here last week when this was officially started. This has been put out by Maidenhead Church, but it's also, Marlo is doing it, and so they've made some for us. It's called People of God. And so it's a set of readings through the scriptures, a journey through the scriptures, focusing on different people in the scriptures. So, and there's just simple readings for each day, and because it obviously starts with Adam. The first week, 2 weeks, is on Adam, so it's Genesis 1 and 2, the first week, and next, this coming week is Genesis 3, I think there might be a bit more. It's been fun, actually, because I met with Kerry on Wednesday. Kerry's taken over from Colin, and so we had our first time with her. And she was talking about how excited she was reading this, and she talked about, do you know, I saw this for the first time, and I thought, right, you've just changed my sermon totally. and then Julie was excited. She said, I read it. Well, you heard this morning, didn't you? So she basically stole my sermon this morning. So that's it. I'm packing up, going home now. I'm done. I'm not really. But it was. She did steal it. Probably needed to be filled out anyway, so there you are. So can I encourage you to do these? It's kind of fun with all of us doing it. And not every morning you're going to get this. Well, in fact, in 2 weeks' time you're not, because it's going to be rivered together. I mean, Simon may preach, but we'll have the different people preaching in a few weeks' time. So I don't want this to be something that we get stuck in a rut over in terms of what we hear from up here. But anyway, we'll all be doing these readings. And I will attempt, and those of us who preach will, if we get inspired by what we see, we'll say something. So this morning we'll be on Genesis chapters 1 and 2, very, very roughly. Not the whole, but it will be here for ages. So you might like to turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Can I also encourage you that when you come, you bring your iPhones, not your, of course I'm an Apple man, so I call them iPhones, but bring your tablets or your phones or your Bibles, those rustly things that older people still use. Here I am insulting Kirsty at the back, who's got a proper Bible in her hand. Actually, I want to do the same this morning. So Genesis chapter 1. So as just by introduction, as we jump into this, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, obviously as you read them are slightly different. Genesis chapter 1 is the overall big picture. It's the big picture. God just creates the world, boom, and it's this kind of timeline of it from beginning to when he quit. Not when he quit us, but when he stopped. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? When he stopped creating it. That's Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2 then takes that last day, if you like, the what happened with Adam and how he was created, and it kind of zeroes in on that particular encounter and what happened at that time. So the sense, and sometimes the verbs are a bit different and can seem a bit strange and contradictory. Don't bother with that. One of the things that we do have to remember, I think, when we're reading scripture, is the mindset of the people to whom and through whom it was written. And these were Hebrews. And Hebrew mindset is not the same as the Western mindset. They don't see things the same way. Hebrew people are more interested in why things happened rather than how. So you don't always get nice, tidy bits that fit nicely together because they wanted to know why a thing happened. Doesn't say it's wrong, doesn't say it didn't happen. It's just that that's the they're more interested in that answer. Does that make sense? That's why you can sometimes got what seems to be contradictory bits and pieces. Righto, let's rev into this. We will not start at the beginning. We will zoom all the way down to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Let me read it out. Did I say I wanted to encourage you to bring your Bibles with you when you come? Wonderful. Actually, it's wonderful to see so many of you with it. That's so good. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him, male and female, he created them. I must have a look at the Greek and see what that actually says there, or the Hebrew. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wonderful, wonderful, powerful, powerful. That was God's statement about why this is what I've done. This whole thing that I've created, this whole making the earth, making the planets, putting the firmament, bleep, 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 all those things he did, this is the whole point. This is what it was about. And he said, let us make man. Now the word in Genesis chapter 2, they start saying Adam, but in actual fact it's the same word. The word man in Hebrew that they put there, I looked it up, is the same as Adam. So when we read Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, We can interpret those things in two ways. We can see it as this is dealing with the individual man, Adam, who is the first man who was made, which is true, which is what it's about. But we could also read this as Adam being the representative of all humanity. So we can read what's happening in this and saying, that's me in that story as well. Does that make sense? Yeah, just how Hebrews think. So we can see whatever God is saying to him, he is saying to us, because we're representative in there. And he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. What is an image? An image is what? Anyone got a quick idea? Quick words. What's an image? What? A picture, yes? Any quick words? One word. A form. All right. Image. An image is something that represents something else. Yes?
An equal
picture. A what?
An equal picture, something else.
Oh.
A reflection.
Oh, reflection. Yeah, reflection. It's a representation, if you like. So we are made as a representation of God. There's an interesting passage in a negative sense, remember all the Old Testament idols that were around? They were images of the gods that they worshipped. The problem, they began to worship the hunk of rock as if it was a god, like it was going to do something. But that was an image. Now, there was one time when I can't remember who it was. It was the baddies, anyway, at the time. In 1 Samuel, about chapter 6. I can't remember who were the guys who were trying to... The Philistines, that's who it was, the Philistines. Saul and his army or some group of people went roaring and took on the Philistines, got beaten up, and they roared in with the Ark of the Covenant. You know, those of you know what the Ark of the Covenant is. It was the box that God was said to dwell in, and it had the law and all those things. And they roared in because they thought taking that in with them, they were just going to win the battle, and they didn't. And they were terrified, and they thought, this is not how it's supposed to work. God was with us, what's going on? They didn't realize that God wasn't with them at all because their lives were a mess. So anyway, so this thing got stolen. Well, it was left there, and these Philistines, woohoo, we beat their God. So they put the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of their god Dagon. The fun thing is, the next morning they woke up, their god Dagon had gone like this and fallen over next to the Yeah, so they, oh, wasn't it good? So this happened about three times. And at the same time, rats started infesting all the Philistines, and they all started getting these little boil things all over their skin. And they thought, it must be this thing. Because I think about the third time that God, they made another one, put it up, the next morning, and his head was broken off. They thought, right, enough, we've got to send this thing back. So they put it up on an oxen, and the best of it, you know, trying to just and sent it back on the back of an oxen. But they made little models of rats. And little models of, you know, clay models, shaped them out, and they were made and put on the ark of the thing with them. Now, those things were images of what invaded us. So the rats, the models of the rats weren't the rats, but they were images. They were representations of what those things were. Now, we are images and representations of God. Now, that blows me away. I don't know what God looks like. I seriously don't. All I know that there is a human being in the Godhead. You'd be beyond that, you know. But we are in his image. That's crazy. But we're not lifeless things. We're not like hunks of clay that have been formed into something. We're living flesh. And we're made in God's image, not something else's. We're made in God's image. And I think the key of that is we're made in his image because he wants to connect with us. There was something special about them, and we'll look at that in a minute. But he gives them an interesting thing. He says, have dominion over the fish in the sea and all the birds of the air, da-da-da-da-da. And so he created man in his own image. Important point, he made male and female, he created them in his image. I hopefully will get time to fill out a bit more, or may not, because with the time frame. He made both, male and female. It is male and female together with the image of God is most fully represented. I'll say that again. It is not just a male by himself or a female by himself. It is both together that we are. There is the fullest a more full representation of what God is like. God's put something of each of us, something of himself in each of us. No one person fully reflects who God is. All right, that becomes clearer later on. I don't know if I'll get to it, but never mind. Does that make sense? So he's made them to have dominion over the earth. Now, when we think dominion, often in our West, in our world, because we've had such terrible people who like to have dominion, we've had tyrants, we've had dictators, and we're in a democracy here. We do not have people, we vote people in, so they can't have dominion over us. Well, if we don't like, we'll boot them out. Well, it's not quite, you know what I mean? We have this negative view of having dominion over things. It's not domination. See, that's the word we think of. How many of you think domination? When we think of dominion, someone has dominion. Maybe it's just me. I'm probably the only one who's thinking all up the pole. My son's not at me, so there you go. So I'm probably the one that's all screwed up on this. But anyway, I just want to read it. It is not domination. If we go to Genesis, go over the page to Genesis chapter 2 to verse 15, we will see this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. All right, so he's made this beautiful garden. I won't go through all that because Julie explained that so wonderfully. It was wasn't it beautiful when God's made these beautiful trees. He's made all these amazing animals. He's made all this stuff for us to enjoy. But we were to care for it. We were to do something with it. We were to nurture. The word care, to keep, means to nurture, to take care of, to look after. That doesn't sound like domination. That's what we were to do. We were given this earth. Not to trample on it, but to care for it. And not only to do that, but to work it, to do things with it, to make the place even more amazing, even more beautiful. Not just for me, but for the whole of humanity. Does that make sense? That was the intention. That was the intention. then along with that. Oh, and God wants to do all this thing in partnership with us. I mean, those of you who read the book, you know, Pete Gregg's book, Dirty Glory. Remember that thing that he said, that the kingdom works, or that God works, when our wills are in partnership with God's will. So he's given us this world to have dominion over. It's a gift to us. It is a gift to us that he, with us, joined together, partake in running this place, doing it together, because that's what he wants. And it says in verse 19, this interesting thing. Now, this is, I'm just going to go for verse 19. Says in my in this translation, now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call him. Now, I know the context is where in verse 18 where he says it is not good for man to be alone, should look for a helper, etc., etc. Some verses don't have that tense. The original verb for had formed, in a lot of translations it says, now the Lord God, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast. And it feels like that's happening straight after he said it's not good that man should be alone, so I'm making the animals out of the field. But the verb actually has a sense where it's past tense. It's just the nature of the verb. And for me, it's often confused me when, if God, you know, he said in chapter 1, I'm going to make you male, I'm making you male and female. Why is he starting to make animals and think that they're going to be a good match for him? I've never understood that. I think, what? You know, like a parrot is going to be a great companion for me. Yeah, well, I don't, you know, I've really struggled with trying to understand this passage. And then you said, well, we couldn't find a helper for him. I said, I'm not surprised. You know, what, do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm the only one who looked at that passage and thought, I don't get this. Until I read my translation and another translation where it says, it is not, now out of the ground the Lord had formed. So I think this is just a wee parenthesis that he's put in there. Now he's out of the ground, he's formed all these things and he's done all this stuff. But you know, none of that was any good. We've got to make someone for Adam. Okay, you see what I mean? It's a parenthesis, like saying, well, we've already made those things, but obviously they're no use to Adam. Like, you know, how is he going to multiply with a parrot? You with me? You know, when he gets in Genesis 1, you just can't do it. You're with me, and I won't need to get explicit. But this is such a good little picture. Here's the thing that spoke to me about this when I read it. Now, read it with, have we got it in my proper translation? Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man, and Julie mentioned this before, to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and the heaven, the birds of the heaven, and every beast of the field. There's a full stop there. What's happening is God has made these amazing animals and he's brought them to Adam, and Julie mentioned this. The important thing to understand when we're reading the Old Testament is that the names mean something. If you speak someone's name, you're actually exercising some sort of authority or some sort of connection over them. That's why they were terrified to speak the Lord's name when they wrote in the Old Testament the Lord's name, if you spoke his name, it implied a connection and intimacy with you that you can't do that, not lack of respect. So it also had something to do with the character and the nature of the person or the thing that's named. Names were very important in the Hebrew mind. So when this is what I think's going on. God has made these things, all these different animals. He brings them to Adam and says, What do you think of that? And he brings a warthog, for instance. Do you know what I mean? I think it would have been fun. See, I made that. What do you think? What do you want to call it, Adam? You know, give it something. So when he gave it a name, it wasn't just what we call it. Oh, it's a warthog. No, it's probably a good name for one, actually. But you know, but he was giving it its character and its nature. So he was the raw animal, and Adam was speaking the nature and the character to that animal. Isn't that amazing? Because what I'm saying is that's a partnership. God created this world that we work together in a partnership to make this world an amazing, 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 even more beautiful than it was. Not only this world, the whole of creation. I personally don't believe, but I won't go into that. People look at me weird when I go into this, but anyway, some people do. But I won't go into that. It'll be a distraction for now. But God intended, that's what his intention, that by partnership with him. Okay, mate, what do we do? What are we going to do? What should we do today, Adam? This has become important when we look at, in Genesis chapter 3, very important when we look at that. That's what God made us for. That's what he made us for. This intimate, amazing connection where we would be covering the world, looking after the animals, improving the place. It was probably running, I don't know if it was wild or what was happening, but creating something that was even more beautiful than it was, enjoying the creation, because we were living in harmony with it, with each other, and with God. Doesn't that sound awesome? That sounds awesome to me. That was his intention all along. All along. And we were given that authority over it, working with him. That was point number one. That's just to show that's what it means to have dominion, to fulfill that commission. And it says in that scripture back in Genesis chapter 1, he said, and he blessed them. Why did he bless them? He blessed them to be able to fulfill that promise. Blessing means favor. I wrote that down. Favor is the first thing. Favor and honor. If you are blessed by God or blessed by someone, you've been given favor from that person and you've been honored from that person. So God blessed Adam and Eve. My favor is upon you. I honor you. I'm giving you special place. That's what it means to be blessed. Now, here's the thing. How many of you heard of a thing called original sin? Wave at me. You all have. Now, I don't understand fully the doctrine of original sin. The only thing I know is that the bit in Paul, where Paul says, in one man, in Adam all sinned, and in Christ all forgiven, or whatever that scripture is. Beyond that, I don't get it. People have written all sorts of weird things about it. So there is a sense in which in Adam's sin, all of mankind sinned, because death has entered the world and sin entered the world. So we're kind of connected somehow. Some people take to the extreme that we still have to pay the price for Adam's sin. We're going to die anyway because of what Adam, and so we're being punished for Adam's sin. And I think, that's not my God and I. But anyway, I won't go there. The problem is that we will get so caught up with the original sin that we forget actually before the original sin, before Genesis chapter 3, there is a Genesis chapter 1 and 2. There was blessing, and God pronounced blessing upon us. And guess what? Never in anywhere in this book, nowhere in that book has God ever revoked that blessing. Amen. Can I say that again? Nowhere in the book has God ever, as far as I know, revoked that blessing. Some of the focusing on our sin and judgment and all that kind of stuff, you think he has, but he hasn't. How do I know? Because it hasn't. It just hasn't. And the evidence of that is because we still, like these boys up here singing, they're creating stuff. There is still something in us that wants to create. There's still something that wants to do great exploits. There's still something in us that wants to go and explore, to conquer things, to do these things, to go and create, to be something. This is part of the blessing that's in us. It's in us and it will still come out. Yes, it might be misdirected because we've turned away from God. It might be misdirected because we've lost touch with the one who has given us the wisdom of how to use this thing, but it hasn't been revoked. It is still in us. It's the reason we exist. That blessing will still work in us, still work through us. It gives us that sense of purpose. I've got to do something. What is it I've got to do? I've got to do something. And we find that thing that we do, we're satisfied. That's because we're blessed people. Does this make sense? I believe that. Is that good to hear?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It's good to hear. All right. Chapter 2, verse 7. Oh, I'm running out of time. All right. Verse 7. This is fun. I really, really like this bit. I like this bit. Let's go in the midst. Let's go from 5. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, no small plant of the blah, 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 6, and a mist was coming up from the land, was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground. Interesting point. All the animals and the beasts of the field were formed out of the ground, and so was Adam. Okay? He was no different at that point from any other being or living thing in the land. No different. Everything was formed out of the dust of the earth. All of them. The Bible says, you read it, you'll read it. Out of the ground, he formed the animals. Out of the dust of the earth, same stuff, he made Adam. So just the same. But here's the clincher. God formed the man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's what makes us different. What is that breath of life? Now, in the Old Testament, the most common word used for the Holy Spirit is ruach. But there are some interesting passages in the New Testament. If you will turn to John chapter 20, verse 23, I think it is. When the disciple, when he's risen again from the dead, see if I probably should go and turn it there. Come on, come on, come on. Is it up there? Yes, no, verse 22. John chapter 20, this fascinating verse. Absolutely fascinating verse. We know, when we'll read next weekend, we read the book next week, we know that things went wrong. But part of the original thing is that God breathed life. What is the life of God? Someone tell me what the life of God is.
The breath,
huh?
The breath of God.
The breath of God. What's the breath of God?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. It is the presence of God himself that is the life of God. So out of all this created thing, he took mankind and breathed his presence into them. Let's argue that's not what the Greek says. It says breathe. Well, Jesus in recorded John 20. Here we have the disciples. After he's risen again from the dead, here's his first disciples come together. His first thing, one of the first things he says to them after he said, peace to you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, does that give you goosebumps? He breathed the Holy Spirit. Here we have the first creation, the first time it was made. God breathed life into them. They stuffed up for the fall, which we'll hear about next week. So finally comes the return of Jesus, where things are restored again, and Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them. All scripture is God breathed. It is breathed by the breath of God. What is the life that's in us? It is the breath of God. What is God's intention? Always, always, always he made us that he would live in us and we would live in him. That was the whole point. That's the whole point of our creation. That he would have fun with us, we'd have fun with him doing this stuff. That was the point right from the beginning. I think that tells me that. And Kerry told me, we just got excited on Tuesday. She said, did you just notice this? And I said, no, I haven't seen that. I'm changing my sermon. That's what I'm changing it to, this. I've never seen this before. I think it's right. That's what God was wanting to do. Right from the beginning, he made us that he would come and dwell with us and live with us. And it's even and having discovered that little passionate portion or truth, it makes the key verse, I think, in chapter 3 so much more real, so much more important. That's what he made us for, to be living with him and he in us. Anything less than that is not his purpose for us. That's what we were made for. Being saved, coming to the cross, receiving Jesus, turning away from your sins, is only but the first step. It is only the first step. It is only just getting in the car and driving off and closing the door and heading off on the journey. It is not the journey itself. Too much of our Christianity is so focused on getting people saved and getting people saved, which is important because you don't get the other bit unless you do the first bit. But once you're through that door, who knows the story of Pilgrim's Progress? Some of us do. There's the great story of Pilgrim's Progress, where it's a kind of analogy of the Christian life. And the very first thing the pilgrim has to do is to go through the gate to the cross. Has he entered into the place where God wants him to be? No, that's just the gate of entrance. Being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being filled with God himself. Always, all the time. Not just some little token filling. He doesn't come to us just as that little bleep, oh, well, here I am, now go. It's not a concept, it's not just an idea, it's the all-pervading, all-consuming reality of what he wants. And he just doesn't want to be filled with just a little bit of himself, he wants to fill us with as much as we can handle and more. Please, that's what he wants for us. To be filled with as much as us of himself as we can cope with, and more. I'll say that again. He wants to fill us with as much of himself or more than we can cope with, because that was his intent all along. If that's not the purpose and the goal of how we're living our lives, we are not living in sync with God. we're living something else that God never intended for us. That doesn't mean to say we stop. Well, you know, he wants to be part of our lives. He wants to be part of our daily routines. He wants to be able to speak and share. He wants to share it with us. Say, Lord, have you got an idea about this? He said, no, you're doing fine. Go for it. He wants to be with us, talk with us all the time. I don't mean to say, you know, when you're busy hard doing this stuff, where you just say, oh, sorry, God. No, he's there with you. It's all right. But he wants to enjoy it. He wants us to talk with him about it at the end of the day. He wants us to talk with him about it at the beginning of the day. He wants us to bleat to him about our problems and hassles because he's in us, knows what's going on. You can tell him if you're disappointed with him. Lord, you've let me down. I feel really let down by this. I was expecting this. It hasn't happened. What's going on? I'm really disappointed. You're allowed to say that. And you'd be surprised how quickly he will minister to you when you're honest about how you feel. But that's him in us. God in us, the hope of glory. Jesus restored that original call. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. God breathed on Adam and Eve right at the beginning of his life. It's just the same. And the cool thing is that blessing, that call to blessing, hasn't changed. It is still the same today. We get to live in it. And for you and I today, we have the great joy of saying, listen, team, listen, people, those people around you who don't know the Lord, who don't know this amazing thing that God has done, you and I get to be the ones that share this and say, do you know what God made? This is incredible. You were made in the image of God. God wants to come and live in you. And people look at you nuts, but it's the truth. But because he's in us, that he's so much in us, the goal is that he is so much in us and flowing through us that people look at us and say, what is it about you people that are so different? Because there are no other people on the face of the earth who carry his presence. It is the distinction of those. Remember, I shared with Thursday night, I mentioned this. There's a story of Moses, and he was taking he had to lead the people of God. And Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, came back down, and they had got on, and all his people had got into some sort of rivalry. It was revelry, slightly different word, and naughtiness, and they've made this stupid golden calf, something or other. And Moses just got upset with them, and it was actually quite brutal. And the Lord got on the act, and so they got a bit of a spanking, pretty severe one. And anyway, the Lord says, well, Moses, sick of these people. I'm just going to work with you. You can take them up, and I'm not coming. So anyway, at the end of the day, Moses says to him, if you don't go with us, how will I know what to do? And secondly, out of all the world, your presence with us makes us distinct. We are different to everyone else in the world because you are with us. Listen, people, out of the whole world, there is no one like us. There is no one like the people who believe in Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit. There is no one like us in the face of the earth. But the cool thing is, we get to be able to share that which we've got. That we get to share it. That's what he wants us to do. This incredible encounter, this incredible God that lives in us, we get to share him. And we get to say, look, this is who we are. This is what we've got. We know God. He's amazing. Have some. That's the point. Not everyone's going to respond to that, of course. You've got to be wise. But that's what we get to do. We get to be the ones through whom God, the creator of the universe, this God in Genesis chapter 1, who fills everyone and everything, we get to share him. That's our point. That's the point of our existence. That's why we're here. And that's why we're New Testament people. That's our call. That's our job. I hate to not put it as a job. Because there is the distinction between us and every other human being. This is why you can go to any place in the world and in every culture and in every creed, colour, class, whatever, probably not creed, don't know about that, but anyway, where there are people who know the Lord filled with the Spirit, their distinction is, and you and I will know them, the distinction is they're filled with the Spirit and there's immediate connection with people all around the world. Doesn't matter where they're from, there is an immediate connection because we're all the same family, because the same Spirit of God dwells in us. It's the distinction that makes us distinct. That sounds funny, doesn't it? The distinction that makes us distinct from any other people on the face of the earth. is his presence in us. And his desire is that everyone on the face of the earth will also know his presence in their lives. And they will live with him in us, him in them, and they in him. It's mutual. It's both ways. That's our goal. That's the task. That's what he invites us to. That's who we are. Is everyone excited by that? Does that sound good? Does that sound good news to people? I think it's awesome. I'll quit there because it's late. That's my sermon, a bit of a crash land on the message here. So bless you. I think, you know, we sang that song, something about, let it rain. What's the words? Music, where's my music? He's gone, he's run away.
I receive your rain.
It's the rain of the Spirit. Receive it. That's why, part of why I said earlier, let him just fill us. You can't strive. How do you strive to be filled with someone who's absolute, who's eternal? That's twitty. I don't know, you know, it's like, how do I strive to jump into the water? You just jump in. You know, if you're trying to, you know, it might be a strive for me to try and fit into this cup of water. Do you know what I mean? I've got to work hard to get myself in there. But God fills the universe. You don't have to strive to get into him, nor do you have to strive to let him into you. Make sense? No striving. No striving. Faith and trust. Trust is all he requires. Surrender and trust. It's all. And he will come because he wants to, because that's what he made us for. Amen.